Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Goes, and here we are back with you again. Now, the Fragrance Foundation Awards, the Oscars of the perfume world, took place on Friday in New York. 1,000 guests in attendance, Christy Brinkley, lots of other stars, Vera Wang on the red carpet. Now, it is big money, the whole industry. The global perfume market size was valued at $48 billion last year. To discuss all things scent and how much it means to us as women and men, in studio is Sarah Halliwell from The Gloss, and on the line we have Sadie Chowan from The Burn Perfumery. So Sarah, I am so glad to talk about this. I am obsessed, and I mean obsessed, with perfume and scent all my life. It's a huge industry.
It's really huge, and it's just getting bigger and bigger. I mean, in the years that I've been at The Gloss, it's been kind of every year it's just got bigger and bigger, and I just get so many samples sent in to sort of see the whole breadth of the industry. So, yeah.
Well, I love the fact that you brought in. I was rattling upstairs this morning with my bag with my own perfumes in it, and I see now I am just looking. I just want to dive across to take a look at some of those perfumes you have in. Shall we just go back? I mean, you're looking at about 5,000 years ago when the whole perfume started, and probably Mesopotamia, that whole area, and coming through. Yeah. But when did we become so obsessed with perfume in the Western world?
I mean, it goes way, way back, you know, and icons, obviously, you know, you've got Marilyn Monroe talking about wearing number 5
and nothing
in
else.
Bed. Yes, that's kind of a big perfume story. But I mean, it goes way back further than that. You know, the pharaohs kind of being buried with their favourite scents. And,
yeah. And I suppose when you look at kind of Dickensian times and Victorian times, people used scent, and of course in France and everywhere as well, because we didn't have great hygiene, you know, we had open sewers. So scent was to kind of mask the smells, the horrible smells around
us.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think, you know, like Marie Cassidy was just talking about putting on a persona, I think a lot of us use perfume, you know, as part of our day and as a part of our persona. So like putting on a red lipstick to be brave. You know, you might put on a different kind of perfume to make your mood different or make you feel different.
And, you know, that is so true. And we all love different scents. And I feel myself, and you probably feel the same as me, at different times you want to wear, you know, maybe someday if it's a lovely, beautiful sunny day, you might wear a floral scent. I tend to wear more woody, earthy scents in the winter time, depending on my mood.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And I think you just, you know, it's something can give you a real lift. If you wear something sunny like neroli, like Sadie, who's going to be on the line, has done a wonderful neroli perfume, which is really just full of sunshine and just gives you that lift and radiance. So I think, yeah, it can absolutely have an impact on your mood and how you feel.
When we go back in time and we talk about, say, Chanel No. 5, it was probably the first perfume that used ingredients made in a lab to make it perfect.
Yeah.
Before that, I mean, the perfume world could have seen a bit cruel in the sense that you'd have to get to create musk, you'd have to kill a lot of deer to take the musk from the anal glands. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But they have obviously they don't do that anymore, and they've changed what they use and what they're allowed to use. But I think, yeah, Chanel No. 5 is interesting because Gabrielle Chanel didn't want to create a flower as such. She wanted to create an abstract scent. So she was very ahead of her time in that way. You know, when she was creating, and this is 1921, she was creating number 5. So, you know, that really...
And it became this almost earthy scent. When you talk about smells, I always wonder about, you know, different parts of the world and the scents they're into. I mean, I know certainly in the East, they like these heady, heavy scents, whereas in the States, we like the smell, or they like the smell of clean linen.
Yeah, that's really true. But interestingly, at Brown Thomas, one of their biggest, most popular scents now is an oud. One of the Frederick Malle ouds has become really popular here. It's become their top seller in their range. So I thought that was interesting that kind of influence is coming here as well.
It is. I'm actually spraying here in studio now Burberry Goddess. And this was the winning scent in the Fragrance Awards at the weekend. And this is what they call a gourmand scent. Can you tell us a little bit about gourmands and vanillas and what they smell like, and why we're into them now?
Yeah, I mean, it's become a massive trend. We're seeing there's a brand called Sol de Janeiro that's absolutely flying out of stores because they do a super sweet kind of, it sort of smells like salted caramel, you know, so you're getting that kind of, I mean, super sweet. But I think for me, I think it goes back to COVID a bit because I think we all wanted sweet treats. We wanted small comforts. And I think we're finding those kind of smells really comforting. I think there's other variations on it as well. So you might get a kind of almondy smell, or you might get, there's a scent called pistachio that's really beautiful. So they're all very delicious, kind of almost edible smells. But I do think that's kind of shifting as well to kind of skin scents. So scents that smell very kind of intimate and close to your skin. So they're kind of, they might have a sweetness, but they're maybe not so overpowering and kind of sickly.
Okay. We will bring in our perfumer. We have Sadie Chowan on the line with us. And as Sarah just said there, Sadie, you've just brought out, of course, you're from the Burn Perfumery down in County Clare. Lovely natural place to be and lovely natural ingredients surrounding you. And I know that's echoed in a lot of your fragrances.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. The last fragrances that I've created have been certified 100% natural. And organic. And that's really because I love the natural ingredients. There's such a wealth of them and they come from all over the world. And it's just discovery after discovery. And I think there is a rising interest in these precious ingredients as well as in the perfumes that's created with them. And coming back to what you were talking about earlier, I think women are feeling just empowered and celebrating their individuality. And I think that's one of the reasons that they're more adventurous. We're all more adventurous now in the perfumes that we wear, and we're ready to explore different perfumes and wear different things at different times of year or in a different mood.
I suppose that creates
opportunity for niche perfume houses and companies.
We have a listener getting in touch. Can you ask the perfume expert what scent she would recommend for someone who is very sensitive to scents? I just keep sneezing. 51551, by the way, is our text number. Do get in touch because we'd love to hear your stories about perfume and what it evokes in your life. So your perfume would be good for someone like that, wouldn't it, Sadie?
Yes, we do have a lot of people who are generally very sensitive to strong scents and who react well to natural scents, which can be much gentler.
Very good. Yeah. What do you think about oils? One of our listeners are asking, rose oil fragrance. Is that the strongest? Is oil the strongest or sillage, how long it lasts? Does that depend on the type of perfume, whether an eau de toilette is lighter than an eau de parfum?
It gets a lot. I get asked this question a lot. So yes, an eau de cologne would be at about 10%, and then an eau de toilette would be a little bit stronger. It would be blended at about 14%, say, and then an eau de parfum would be about 16%, and a parfum would be at about 20%. But it doesn't just depend on the strength of the blend. It also depends what's in it. For example, vanilla is incredibly strong. Sandalwood. These are all base notes. So these would stay on your skin for many, many hours. In fact, sandalwood for several days. Whereas the top notes, which are all citrus, say bergamot, grapefruit, bitter orange, all those wonderful fresh notes, those are the first things that we smell when we open or spray a bottle of perfume. And those are the first to disappear as well. They're very volatile. And then the middle notes or the heart notes are all the things like rose and lavender and a lot of the herbs. And those would be the heart of the perfume, and those would stay on our skin, depending on the ingredient and on our skin, for maybe 4 to 8 hours. So it depends on the ingredients in the perfume, also on your skin type. So what I think is wonderful about perfume is that they smell completely different on every single one of us. So I can spray a perfume on myself, and then I can smell it on your skin and on your skin, and it's almost like it's nearly a different perfume.
This is interesting. Anne in Wexford got in touch. She said, I only spray perfume on my clothes because I was told when you spray it on your skin, the body treats it as a poison and needs to get rid of it. I don't know about that now.
Well, I don't know about treating it as a poison. I mean, natural essential oils were developed by plants as a defense mechanism to stop insects eating them and things like that. So in that sense, you could call it that. But I think spraying it on your skin allows it to evolve with your skin type and with your body chemistry. And so it gives a sort of deeper, more interesting effect, if you like, than just spraying it on your clothes. But spraying it on your clothes is something that people do if they're very sensitive to perfume.
Great. What about on your hair? Does it last longer on your hair?
I mean, there are special hair perfumes that you can get now, so that can be an affordable way of wearing an expensive perfume, because they're often cheaper. Well, they're always cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good point, just to Sarah here in studio, because obviously you're writing all the time about beauty, Sarah, and the gloss, you're writing about perfumes an awful lot. And I know you've got a big event coming up in Brown Thomas, do you?
We do, on Wednesday, in the evening, 5:30, at Brown Thomas. It's a fragrance masterclass. So we have a perfume expert over from the UK, and we have the Chanel fragrance expert. And we're going to be talking about Comet, which is the latest Chanel Les Exclusives scent.
Oh, this is a big, beautiful bottle. Now, we're talking about, and we will talk a little bit now about pricing when it comes to scents. And I suppose Burberry Goddess that won the award, and a lot of the award winners were, I suppose there'd be commercial perfumes, you know, that a lot of people can, you know, under 100 euro or whatever. But this one here, Comet Chanel, I'm going to spray it. I've been dying to smell this now. Describe this to me.
Well, this is very powdery. It's very elegant.
It's a bit almondy.
It's almondy, exactly. So it's a kind of got a cherry blossom accord. Oh, so the perfumer described it as optimistic, powdery and radiant. So it's a very, it's kind of old school in some ways, but it's also, it's got a warmth and a sweetness. So I think it's a very sort of elegant perfume.
Actually, that's very interesting. Cherry blossom. It's very Japanese. I know that when you get Sesedo and some of those perfumes have a lot of cherry blossom in them. This is gorgeous.
Yeah.
This is gentle. It's a very Chanel smell.
Yes.
Gentle. It's not overpowering, but yet it's very elegant. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, I mean, it has a lot of iris in there because that's their kind of keynote in this range of perfumes. So that makes it, iris is a very expensive ingredient. So that makes it, that gives it a real elegance and sophistication. So it has a sweetness, but it's not coming from vanilla. It's coming from flowers, white flowers.
And the difference, white flowers, that's interesting because white flowers have a smell that perfumers sometimes describe as almost overripe.
Right, like
I must. I should probably ask Sadie that. Yeah. Sadie, animalic or animal kind of smelling scents. We talked about how Americans love the kind of fresh linen, and you know, maybe we like some sweet things. But the French, they always love the almost like dirty scents, almost like scents of your body. Tell us a little bit about that.
So animalic, yeah. So one of the, for example, jasmine has a molecule in it, a natural molecule in it, which is called indole. And that, for us, would smell like, you know, when lilies, for example, are just going over, or a very rich flower has been in the vase too long and is just going over, so it's almost unpleasant. It's incredibly rich. And that's that sort of animalic smell. And you need a little bit of that in a perfume to fix it and to ground it. And in fact, that's what sort of musks do. That's what the animal musks did, which in a very, very tiny amount, it would enrich the whole perfume. So you'd have your flowers, your beautiful flowers on the top, but at the base of that, you'd fix it with a slightly animalic note. And that nowadays they do it with, they tend to do it with artificial musks. We use something like Ambrexy. There are natural musks as well. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting when you think of animalic, because really, I suppose that's kind of the seductive, almost sexual smell of a person. I mean, that's really what perfume does as well. I mean, Sarah, do you find when you're writing that people like those kind of scents, that kind of people put on a perfume to feel sexy and seductive?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what perfume's been used for from day one, really. I think it's been, you know, as a tool of seduction. But I think also that's grown now to kind of, you know, you can choose something to be uplifting or to be energizing. You know, I do think it can have an effect on your mood in different ways. You know, it doesn't always have to be the sexy perfume.
Yeah, well, we have colognes which are light and airy.
Yeah.
Catherine got in touch with us here. She says, my mom passed away in 2009. She had been in hospital for a few weeks just before she passed into the next world. I put some 4711 on her wrists. I wear 4711 myself and I have lovely memories. So 4711 is one of the oldest colognes. I was talking to my mom at the weekend. She's in her 80s now, and she remembers years ago that, you know, somebody came home from somewhere and they had a cologne, and it must have been that, and they used to steal a little bit, it was her aunt, and put it on their wrists.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing about scent, is that it can transport you back to a memory or to a person or to a place. Just immediately. So if I smell Cacharel Lulu, you know, I'm back in the 80s, you know, because it was my teenage perfume, or Chloe, which was my godmother's perfume. So I always think of her. So it's a very immediate thing. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, it's an emotional thing.
It certainly is. Joan in Bennett's Bridge in Kilkenny, she said, my first perfume was Tweed in the early 60s, given to me by a school friend, Margaret Fay. I loved it. Tweed, that brings back memories. Can you still get that, I wonder, Sarah?
I don't know about that. I think you'd have to find that on an archive or on eBay, maybe. You know, it's,
sometimes you can search.
You
for
can
places,
sometimes
can't
find
you?
Them. Yeah.
I only ever wear a number 5 shower cream, body cream, powder, deodorant, and perfume. I just love it. That is from Bridget. Thanks for getting in touch. Back to you for a second, Sadie. What perfume with a geranium base is recommended? Now, I know this is a wild one thrown out there. Geranium. I remember. Did that perfume that was created by Hubert Givenchy for the actress, did that have a geranium base? L'Entre-D. Did that have a geranium base, Sadie? Can you remember?
I think Sarah might be a better person to ask about that. Can I just go back? I just wanted to say about the sense of connection created and memories.
Yeah.
Is that perfume creates, can really create the sense of happiness and connection to times and people. And I think that's what people are looking for. But I'll give the question about the geranium base to Sarah. I think she might have a better idea.
Yeah, geranium. It's kind of an old fashioned smell.
I think it's a lovely note. I think the H24 by Hermes, which is kind of targeted at men, but it's a unisex, really. I think that's a very good geranium off the top of my head.
But, it's interesting, yeah. Sarah. I know a lot of women who use aftershave instead of, they love men's perfumes or men's aftershaves instead. This is becoming a big thing, the unisex perfumes.
Absolutely. And gender's really gone out of perfumes in a big way. You know, I know we've got the YSL or whatever, but I think other brands are kind of really, the most forward-looking brands are kind of just saying, look, there isn't really gender in perfume. You choose what you wear. You know, a lot of men wear rose fragrances or florals. Like you were talking about Burberry winning this award, but actually the Burberry Hero, which is the men's scent, I much prefer it. You know, I think it's kind of, I prefer to wear it, you know. So it's always worth looking at the men's version of the scent if there's two.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at the Tom Ford, an awful lot of the Tom Ford perfumes, and I know there was probably a winner there, I know he has won before, but if you look at the Tom Ford scents, I mean, this one here that I have, now I haven't smelled your Neroli yet, because I know it's not out, Sadie, so I'm looking forward to that, but I have a Tom Ford Neroli Portofino, and I find that really lifts me in the morning.
Yeah, it's a very sunny scent. I mean, 4711, you know, it's kind of taking on that idea and making that modern. And I think Tom Ford uses really good perfumers. That's the key behind the brand. They have got really, really expensive recently. So,
Sadie, as Sarah said, a perfume has become really, really expensive. Can I just ask you very briefly about an affordable scent? Can you find something on the high street if you can't afford the expensive juices?
Yeah, I think there are perfumes for everybody and every pocketbook nowadays. And there are some inexpensive, simpler scents that are really very pretty and very wearable. And some of the very expensive scents, sometimes they use very expensive ingredients. But I think there's something for everybody. I think the thing is really is to go out there and try lots of different things.
Yeah, you're right. Sadie, you know what? You're not going to believe this. I'm just looking at the clock. I've run out of time with two of you because I'm on my perfume journey myself. We'll take a little break, back in a sec.